Good morning and welcome here to St Andrew's this morning. It's lovely to see you all. I'm sure there are a few more who are winding their way in, but it's 5:30, so we will begin. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Dave Bruce. I'm the rector here, and if you are visiting, I know there's one or two people here at least for the first time. A really warm welcome to you particularly. And if you weren't here last Sunday, and I wasn't, then a Happy New Year to you all. And hope you've enjoying the start of 2023. We'll just let everybody else come and settle. Welcome to those who are watching online later on this week as well. You are really welcome, and hope you feel part of this service and enjoy watching that. Today is actually, we celebrate Epiphany today, which is remembering when the three wise men, or however many wise men there were, arrived to see baby Jesus. And we're going to have that as our reading, and we're going to think a bit about that in the context of worship here for the adults. But the children have got a very exciting time this morning, because you are having an Epiphany party. Ooh. In the church hall, which Mary is in charge of. So that is fun. So the children are going to be in the hall this morning. The Pathfinders are going to be in the side room. So there's a bit of a swap for when you go out a little bit later. And we're going to be sharing communion too later. And the children and young people might come back in for it. They might not. Depends whether they're having too much fun or not. We're starting a new series today. There we go. We're starting a new series today, which is We Are the Church, and I'm going to say a little bit more about that in a moment. But we're particularly going to be thinking about today being devoted worshippers. What does it mean to worship God? And today we're going to worship God through reading scripture, through singing, through silence, through prayer, through caring for one another, through sharing communion, and we're going to talk about a few other things as well. But we're going to start by just saying some amazing words of Scripture, declaring who God is. And as we say these, we're going to just acknowledge that we're coming to meet with God and we're lifting our eyes to Him. So I'm going to say the bits in yellow and you're going to say the bits in white. And if you noticed, it says that the first bit you say is, "Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation." So let's shout. Well, say it strongly at least, and maybe even shout, just to show God how much we mean it. So let's stand, shall we? Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and sing joyful songs of praise. For the Lord is a mighty God, a mighty King over all the gods. And so, Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, we gather together here in your name. And we come as living sacrifices to offer you our worship and thanksgiving, our praise and our prayers. Come among us, living Lords, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Transform our hearts and minds so that we may recognize your presence, hear your voice, know your will, and walk in your way. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. So let us sing, I Will Worship. And children, if you want to come and grab an instrument, adults too, if you want to come and grab an instrument, feel free. But let's sing and praise our God.
Thank you.
And so, Lord, you are worthy of all our praise. And we pray that you would turn our hearts to worship you wholeheartedly, not just today in church, but throughout the week. And teach us what it means to bring you glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Do come and drop your instruments off, children, and you can stay at the front. And I want to ask a question. I want to say, who said this morning, I'm going to church, or shall we go to church, or it's time to go to church now? Did anyone say any of those things this morning? Quite a few people. I'm sure we've all said those things, and in a way it's true. We have come to church. But I want to say, even more importantly than that, oh, it's lovely to see so many children. Fantastic. I'm just going to talk to you lot, actually. It's just great to say, not just that I go to church, but I think there's a really important thing that we can say that's even more important than that, and that's this, that we are the church. Because the church isn't this building that we are here, lovely as it is. The church is all of us. And I thought what we would do today is we'd have a few, we'd make a mini church at the front. So I would like, can I have someone who's at primary school? Who's at primary school? Ben, up you come. Fab. This is the tricky one. Is there someone who's at secondary school who'd be willing to come and humour me this morning? You're not going to have to do anything embarrassing. Are we going to leave you at secondary school? No. Hey, Sophie, well done. I would love, I can see today, we've got some students here. So, can we have a student? George, lovely to have you back, and Eloise. I think, is there someone, let's go to the other end. Is there someone who is more mature in years and is one of those really responsible people that we look up to, who's willing to come up the front? I don't think you're mature in years, but we do look up to you. Come on, Darren, up you come. Is there someone who's perhaps in between George and Darren who might like to come up? Perhaps a parent. And let's not have the whole Wharton family up. Come on, Ed, up you come. Is there someone who is from a different country that might come up? Oh, great, Lynn, well done. Is there someone who normally goes to a different church? Okay, just stay where you are, that's fine. Is there someone who's new to faith, who's just become a Christian in the last couple of years, maybe, who wants to come up? No, we know there are some. They're just being... Oh, James, come up, great. Oh, dear. Okay, that'll do. You know, we are... Look at everybody here. This is a bit of mini church. Aren't they lovely? But I think the amazing thing about being church is that, you know, we are a variety of people. We're young and old. We're people who've just come to faith. We're people who've been a Christian for many years. We're people who are working. We're people who are retired. We're people who are at school. But all of us come together to be the church. And I want us to think about, what are some of the things that we do as we are church? What are some things that we do because we are church? Shout them out, anybody. Children, adults, anyone.
Pray.
We pray.
Love
each other. Fellowship.
Sing.
Any ideas?
Yeah.
What? Flourish. Yeah, that's a good one. Great. Worship, yeah. All those things. But it's interesting, isn't it, that all those things we've talked about are things that we actually do when we're here. But actually, we're not just church when we're here, because where are you going to be tomorrow morning?
I'll be at work.
Where's work?
Elim International Centre at the back of the hills.
So you'll be there. Where will you be tomorrow morning?
School.
Which school?
Malvern Parish.
Malvern Parish. Where will you be tomorrow, Darren?
Just getting up.
Just getting up. Great. Sophie, where will you be?
I'll be at school.
You'll be at school. Where are you? Which school?
At the Chase.
At the Chase, James?
I'll be at Hanley Castle.
He'll be teaching.
I'll be with Darren.
Well, hopefully not with Darren. And Lynn, where will you be?
I'll be at work.
And what's work for you?
Physio practice.
Physio. You see, tomorrow we are still the church, aren't we? But we're just the church scattered throughout Malvern and the communities. But we are all still the church. We come and gather on a Sunday, and then we go out there the rest of the week to still be church and to do the things that God calls us to do, and particularly just to be the church for our communities who don't yet know anything about God. And that's some of the things that we're going to be thinking about in this coming series. And here are just some of the topics that we're going to be looking at. We're not going to be able to look at everything that's to do with church. But here are some of them that we're going to be thinking about in the next few weeks. So I want each of you children, particularly, as we're going to say goodbye to you, children and youth, in a moment, to think, when you go to school tomorrow, that you are the church at school. That actually God has put you in that place to show, to shine his light to the people around you that don't go to church, that don't know God. And that you are still being the church. And we're going to pray for you. I'd love everybody to think, perhaps look at one of these people at the front here, or the children, or think of someone around, and think, actually, I'm going to pray for them tomorrow that they will be the church wherever they are, and that God would help them be all that he's called to be. Do you think you can do that, children, particularly? You think about how you can be the church tomorrow in your schools? Great. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for all of us. And then we're going to send you off to your party. So, Lord, thank you that we are the church. It's not that we come to church, but that we are the church. And that we come together on the Sunday to encourage each other and to learn more from each other, to hear stories of what you've been doing. And then you send us out in the week to be church in the different places that you have put us. And I pray that you'll help us as we look at this series this term, to know what it means that we are called to be the church, and that you would help us be even more effective disciples for you wherever you send us. And pray particularly for our children now and our young people, that they would have a special time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
See you later. Have a good time at the party. Come and tell us all about it afterwards. And Pathfinders are in the room with Simon and George as guest speaker this morning.
I'd just like to say to you, apologising for having an 80-year-old in the band. I know it's not a jazz band, but it's a band where we worship God, and I still do that. So I hope you appreciate that. Thank you.
We do. We're just glad you got up this morning for us, Darren. We're going to have our Bible reading now, because we're going to, Joe in a moment is going to be talking to us about worship, and I thought let's have the teaching first, and then once we've had the teaching on worship, we're going to worship for the second half of the service. So Lynn is going to come and read us a couple of readings. I really encourage you to grab a Bible from the chairs in front of you and to follow it, have that open, so that actually you can check what Joe's going to say is right.
Morning. The first reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and it can be found on page 966 of the Church Bibles. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The second reading comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which can be found on page 1139. A living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just pause there for a moment. And just, if you've got the scripture in front of you, just for a moment, let's just reflect.
We say, Lord, as we come to reflect on your precious words, as Joe comes and opens it to us, would you give us ears open, hearts open, to learn what it means to truly worship you in spirit and in truth. And just we say, come Holy Spirit, would you come and set us on fire again. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. Do you know, one of the most wonderful privileges I've had over the last 40 odd years is to be able to stand in front of tens, twenties, hundreds, not quite thousands of people, but experiencing worship, filled with the Holy Spirit. People on fire for God. People silently waiting upon God. People sitting there. People falling off to sleep. Sometimes in congregations of six or less. But the privilege of being able to be part of a church that's alive to God and worshipping God with all their heart, soul, mind and strength is something that I will always, always treasure. And being here, coming to St. Andrew's with Sean, has been no different. To find a church that is fully alive to God and is on fire to worship the Lord is such an amazing joy. It really is. And there is no doubt that St. Andrew's is a worshipping community. And when I'm worshipping, I feel that I'm in my element. It's what I'm made for. Do you feel that too? Oh. Do you feel that?
Yes.
Yes. We're in our element when we're worshipping the Lord. The Bible says that God has placed eternity in our hearts. And that sense of the awesomeness of God, who is worthy of all our worship, is something which is so profoundly, deeply written in our hearts that we can't get away from it. It is what our purpose in life really is. And so we begin our new year with that primary purpose of being alive, that is to worship God. And so this morning I want to ask two questions.
What is worship? And secondly, how can we become even more devoted worshippers in 2023? I want us to try to learn from the mysterious Magi. And this is where you can check if I'm on the right lines. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. First thing that we learn from the Magi is that they were people who were responding to what God had shown them and revealed to them. Matthew writes, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." They were responding to that vision of the star, which you can see in the top corner of that painting. They were responding to something they had seen. And that is the starting point for our journey of worship. God reveals himself to us, and we glimpse something of that and awaken something within us, and we go, wow. Wow. We might go, wow. Or we might go, wow. But it's an awakening of something deep within. And I remember when I was a student at Theological College back in the early 80s, yes it was, and I was sat in the library. I had to study a passage in Isaiah 6, which is the call of Isaiah. And I went into the library thinking, oh, and I could see all these people walking down to play tennis and go punting and make opportunities for walking in the parks and everything else. And because I wasn't as bright as some of these other guys, I had to study so hard. I was in the library and I began to open the scriptures and look at the commentaries and look at Isaiah 6 and began to get my imagination fired up. And the image there of God is holy. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of his glory. And the response of Isaiah to that, woe is me, for I am unclean, and I stand in a people who have unclean lips. And God then takes this tongue, his coals, and touches his lips, and he's clean, and he can worship. And then he says, you know, who will go for us? And here I am, send me. All that encounter with God, and his holiness, and the mercy of God, and the glory of God, and the sendingness of God, it just created within me such a desire to worship that it revolutionized my life. And I've been on fire for God in worship ever since. It really revealed to me the grace of God. It was the grace of God writ large. For it helped me to see that I was made for worship. I was made for a relationship with God. The God who reveals more and more of himself to us year by year, so that something within us can go, wow, how great thou art. First of all, worship is a response to the purity, the holiness, the awesomeness, the mercy, the greatness of God. Secondly, devoted worshippers such as these Magi were intentional in their worship. We read a little bit further on in Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 9. After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They were overjoyed. And on coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. The Magi were intentionally, proactively seeking this newborn king. They'd come to worship him, and they wouldn't stop until they found him. And that's why they were overjoyed when the sign that God gave them was so clear and so specific. The star stopped over the place where Jesus was. That sign, of course, was consistent with the scriptures. And of course, when we're thinking about God's guidance, you know, signs and feelings and all that sort of thing have to be consistent with the scriptures. The scriptures that spoke of a king being born in the town of Bethlehem, Bethlehem, house of bread. And that's a whole other sermon altogether. How significant is that? But anyway, they were intentional. They found the place, the house, because it was probably a year or two since the birth of Jesus that this happened. And they went in and they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. So here, Matthew gives a further insight into what being a devoted worshipper looks like. He uses the word for worshipped in the Greek that comes from the verb proskuneo, which literally means, as many of you know, I'm sure, to come toward, to kiss. They came toward to kiss. Their intention when they found Jesus was to come toward him, to kiss him. And I just wonder whether you can ponder that for a moment and just, I mean, what's going through your mind, your body, your heart when you intentionally move towards somebody, hopefully that you know and love, to kiss them? It's a very tender moment. It's a very powerful, intimate thing, isn't it? For us, being church means that we worship as a response to what God has done and who he is. And that will include both the standing back in awe movement, but it will also include the coming toward to kiss movement. Both a part of worship. And so in our gathered worship in church, for example, we will have, often near the beginning, a more formal liturgy. We'll have songs or a hymn that declares the greatness of the love of God and things about God. And then we might move into, as we're going to today, a more intimate times of worship. Holy Communion, where we're invited to draw near to God, to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, how intimate is that? To get so at one with God that we are, as it were, taking his life into our own selves, our souls and bodies, by faith. And we're singing songs, the I Love You Lord type of songs that are more intimate, maybe repeating words and just being close. I love you, I love you. Both those are part of worship. Worship is both awesome and intimate. So the wise men, the Magi, were responding to God. God's sign. They were intentional about their coming toward Jesus and finding him. And thirdly, their worship was sacrificial. So they came to the house, they saw the star, they were overjoyed, they entered in, they bowed down and worshipped him. And then verse 11, then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And I got on the screen here a painting by the Italian artist Gentile de Fabriano. His painting, this is a detail of his adoration of the Magi. And you can see how they're humbling themselves. They knelt down, they fell down, literally, before Jesus. All pride of status and learning is abandoned in the presence of God. And then they expressed their homage through the costly offering of gifts. And so we see that devoted worship is expressed not only in words but also in deeds. It's the complete offering of ourselves, all that we have and all that we are. As Paul said in Romans, that verse from chapter 12, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, because he's been talking for the last chapters about amazing nature of God, and the end of chapter 11 is this great doxology of how amazing and fantastic God is. And he says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for this is your spiritual worship. This act of offering your whole selves in the whole of life, your bodies, everything that you are, everything that you do, is an offering to God. And here he uses a different word in Greek for worship, latiria, which means to serve or to minister. And therefore, devoted worshippers, we offer the whole of ourselves in the whole of life to be an offering of worship to our Lord. Now, doesn't that put a different perspective on the prospect of getting up, whenever that might happen, on Monday morning, making that first cup of tea for the person that we'd like to make it for, getting the kids washed and dressed, going into the office or the gym or the studio or the school or the co-op, wherever we're going, we go as devoted worshippers, as we were hearing earlier on. We're doing it all for the glory of God. So let me conclude by asking a basic question that arises from all this. Yes, but how? It was very helpful. Dave put a great set of notes together for the life group leaders and for the life groups this week on this subject. And he quoted a book I don't know yet, but I would very much like to get hold of it, called The Unquenchable Worshipper, Coming Back to the Heart of Worship, which is the song we're going to sing shortly, by Matt Redman. And in that, he observes this. So often, when my worship has dried up, it's because I haven't been fueling the fire. Now, Matt Redman couldn't be more on fire for God. And yet, there are times in his life when he felt flat. And the reason that he wrote that song, I'm Coming Back to the Heart of Worship, was after a real dry period. And he realized that what he'd been doing was just like automatic stuff. It wasn't really from the heart. And he wanted to articulate some of the things that had enabled him to get back into a place of being a devoted worshipper. And he recognized that he hadn't always been fueling the fire. And he goes on to say what fuels his fire as a devoted worshipper. I just want to quote the thing that he says in that book. He says, I haven't set aside any time to soak myself under the showers of God's revelation. In other words, he hasn't been just in the presence of recognizing who God is, the revelation of God, or how merciful, loving, holy, challenging, adventurous, purifying, scarily clear sometimes God is. Often time is the key factor. You know, time for God's meditation on his word and everything else gets squeezed out. And that's when one has to apply the principle of displacement. One has to be intentional and say, yes, I will go to church and be church together rather than playing golf this morning. I don't know whether that's something that you wrestle with occasionally, Dave, but I do. It's something that we all, not really, he doesn't have absolutely no problems with that at all. But I think the thing is that sometimes we have to make choices and be sacrificial in how we approach this use of time. But sometimes it says, if we can find space to soak ourselves in God's word, his presence, his creation, spend time with other believers, then we'll find that the revelation floods back into our lives and our hearts will respond with a blaze of worship once again. Those four things are really helpful in trying to think what fuels fire, which of them does it for you. If we can find space to soak ourselves in God's word, might be learning a verse from scripture that you can do once a month and then take it for a walk as you're taking the dog, just go over that verse time and again and meditate on it. Studying a chapter of the Bible over a period of time in depth. Isaiah 6 would be a good one to go with. In his presence, just being there in silent surrender, attentively waiting as so many have been over Advent. Being aware of his creation, the beauty of it, the awesomeness of it, the intricacy of it. It's what Celtic Christians described as the second book of the Bible. And spending time with other believers, maybe in life groups and prayer triplets, going to conferences together, Sunday midweek worship, walking, talking, crying, laughing together, just being with others. Then we'll find that the revelation, that star, as it were, will flood back into our lives and our hearts will respond with a blaze of worship once again. That's the key. Keep the fire aflame in our hearts. And it's something that people down the centuries have found to be true. That great worship leader of the 18th century, Charles Wesley, knew that only too well. When he wrote, "O thou who camest from above, the fire celestial to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart." Do it, Lord. Do it in us, we pray. Do it now, this year. So may our prayer for 2023 be one that comes from the Church of England's morning worship liturgy. Lord, set our hearts on fire with love for you. Shall we say that together? Shall we pray that now together? As we come to worship, perhaps the worship group can just come take their places, because we're going to sing that song using Matt Redman's words. And now that I've given us a bit of an insight into his own heart, it becomes even more alive. We might come back to the heart of worship, but we might find the vision of God so wowing that we might become living flames in his presence. Let's stand together. We're going to say this prayer. And I'd just like to place your hands out in openness to God, yearning and longing that this might be the case for this year. We say together, Lord, set our hearts on fire with love for you. Say it again. Lord, set our hearts on fire with love for you. Amen.
Change my plan slightly from what we're going to, so we're not going to use the slides, but just to respond to what that song has said, what Joe has shared, what God stirred in your hearts. Just particularly if you are relate to that phrase that your worship has dried up. You know, tell that to God now and confess and say, I'm sorry, and ask God to fuel that fire again, to set you ablaze again. Lord, for being half-hearted worshippers and worshipping other things instead of you, Father, forgive us. For not living our everyday lives as an act of worship to you. Father, forgive us. For not always acknowledging your greatness and your love for us. Father, forgive us. But come now by your Holy Spirit and give us a new revelation of who you are. Come and set our hearts on fire for you afresh. That we will be a church and a people who worship you with the whole of our hearts and with the whole of our lives. Let's return to just sing at praise of God. And allow God to meet us. And just what Joe was saying about posture, you know, some of you might want to kneel, you might want to hold your hands out, you might want to just humble yourself before God. There's that sacrificial act, but let's worship our God.
you like to sit? Let's continue in that attitude of worship as we pray our intercessions, standing in the gap for the world and for those in need. I have a little rollover calendar which I look at every day, and today the words on it were from Exodus 33, and it says, "The Lord said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Let's bear that in mind as we pray. Father God, we pray for the church. We pray for your church, your people, in Malvern and across the world. We pray for Bishop John, for Archbishop Justin, for those who work in your service, Lord, across the world. We think of Terry and Hanka English in Czechia, John and Elise Fletcher in Thailand, the Reverend George Otieno in Tanzania, Ben and Katie Ray also in Tanzania, Mike Basus in Lebanon and Nick Russell in Greenwich. And we think of others that we know serving the Lord in different lands as well. We thank you for those, all of us, who are working on front lines. We heard some of them this morning. And we pray for those of us who are working in difficult circumstances at the moment, or living in difficult circumstances. And we also remember our students going out onto their front lines in college and university. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Let's pray for our national leaders. We pray, Father God, for King Charles and his family at this time where so many aggravations seem to be going on. We pray for that peace, that you will go with him, give him peace, and his family, the complete family. We pray for Rishi Sunak and our members of parliament, and we particularly pray for those Christian MPs across the parties who are serving the nation and they're serving you at the same time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for the world. Let's just think of places where there are conflict. We listened this morning to a daily service from Ukraine, and pray for that nation, that peace will come swiftly. We pray for places where there is oppression. I think particularly of Iran, but there are many other places too, where people are restrained and restricted in what they are allowed to do. Places where there is hardship, famine, natural disasters. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our local community in Malvern. Pray for the churches, over 20 different churches in Malvern. Pray for the Littleton Well, and particularly decisions regarding the bookshop. For CAP, for the food bank, for the MAG Centre. For our churches, St Andrew's and All Saints, and we pray particularly for St Mary's. And we pray too for the Octagon and the ministry that goes on there. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for those known to us who need a special touch. Father God, we lift to you those who are unwell, those who are awaiting surgery or diagnosis or results. We pray for those who are lonely or anxious. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And we're going to finish the prayer in a slightly different way. I'd like to invite everyone who can, please, to stand. And we're going to pray in four different directions. So I want you to look forward to the person immediately in front of you. And this will happen each time. If there's no one in front of you, if you're facing a wall or the back or something like that, pray for our children and our young people and their leaders as they're celebrating in the hall. So let's just pray now for the blessing of the Lord's peace to be on the person immediately in front of you, whether you know them or not. Just pray for that person. And now let's turn and face the side wall here. And again, just pray for the person immediately in front of you. And now let's turn to the back. Different person. We pray blessing. We pray peace. And finally, let's turn to the far wall where the car park is. Pray for that person in front of you. And let's return to the front. Father God, we pray, accept our prayers. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Just wanted to mention one thing that Jane prayed for the Octagon community there, and just one sad bit of news that we've had from the Octagon community, that just a real character of the Octagon, a guy called Steve Nichols, who some of you may know. Steve sadly passed away over Christmas. And my great memory of Steve was in one of the amazing Octagon Easter services in the Passion Play. He played Jesus. And he played Jesus in the most moving way I have ever seen anyone play. And he would come up to me after and say, "Of course I don't believe." But he did. And it was, I think, in my whole time of ministry here, I think that's the most moving moment I've ever had. So it's really sad, you know, it's really sad, and sad for that community that Steve has gone. You know, Steve had his own struggles. But just I ask you to pray for that community, and we're hopefully going to have a memorial service for Steve in the next couple of weeks. But a real significant person in that community who, I believe, even though he said he had no faith, he did. And I believe he's now with Jesus. So we'll bless him. We're going to share the peace together before we come and take communion as our next act of worship. And we've sort of done it already, but we're going to do it as well. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled." And for some, that's the real word that we're speaking in. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Let's just briefly share with each other, however you feel comfortable, the sign of the peace. Joe shared just that moment when he'd studied Isaiah 6, where God just gave him a real revelation of what worship is about and what God really met him. And, you know, the bread and the wine, as Joe shared, you know, is that special place where God can meet us in amazing ways. And I want to pray particularly for all of us, but particularly for those who feel dry in worship, that as we share communion together, as we receive the bread and the wine, I pray that God will meet us in a really special way. And we worship in response to what Jesus has done for us. And this meal, as we remember, this meal is a remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. So the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's always right to give you thanks, God, our Father, holy and strong, King forever. You made us and the whole universe and filled your world with life. You sent your Son to live among us, Jesus, Saviour, Mary's child. He suffered on the cross. He died to save us from our sins. He rose in glory from the dead. And you send your Spirit to bring new life to the world and fill us with power from on high. On the night before he died, Jesus had supper with his friends and he took a loaf of bread and gave thanks to you, Father. He broke it and gave it to them saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. Father, today we remember Jesus. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this to remember me." Father, we do this to remember Jesus. He has forgiven us. And Father, as we remember his death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit, that the bread and wine we bring before you may be for us Christ's body and his blood. Pour your Spirit on us that we may love one another as we work for the peace of the earth and wait for Jesus to come in glory. For honour and praise belong to you, Father, with Jesus, your Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God for ever and ever. Amen. And do be seated. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you.
We're going to... There's one more song which if you need to rush off, you can go for. But just before we finish and I say the blessing and then we'll sing, I'd just like to encourage you to look at the life group notes this week, because particularly at the end of the life group notes, and you connect them from the mailing, they're on the website, is there are some suggested ways of how you can worship on your own outside of church. And we just encourage, you want to really encourage people not to think, actually, we come to church to do the worship and then we go out there. But actually, I want to really encourage us this week to try intentionally, as Joe was saying, to actually worship God in the normal things of our days. And there's some different suggestions as to how to do that. So download those notes, print them out, and just try some things and share them in your life group. You'll get bonus marks if you can come to your life group saying you've done them already. If you're not in a life group, we'd love to connect you with a life group. The new year is a good chance to start. Do particularly see Val on the welcome desk afterwards or me, and we can connect that in. Yeah, I think that's all we need to say. And if you're new here, we have an email mailing, which if you look on our website, you can get to, or come and see the welcome desk afterwards, and they'll show you how to connect up with that. But I'm going to say a final blessing, and then we're going to sing. And if you need to go and collect children, then please do. So, Lord, we thank you that you created us to worship. And Lord, set our hearts on fire for you again. Come and meet us wherever we are, in church, out, being the church in our communities. And make us a people who worship wholeheartedly in spirit and truth. And as we do, may we draw near to you and be transformed more into your likeness. And so may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us as we go out into his world to be worshippers in the places he calls us this week. Amen. If you would like anyone to pray for you, then, you know, there'll be people down the front who would love to pray for you, particularly actually if you're dry and you're wanting that heart of fire of worship. Come and let someone pray. If you need to go and get kids, do, but otherwise, stay and sing and stay in worship.